Hello, open your Bible today to Psalm 106. As we take up Psalm 106 today, we see that it's the last of the Psalms found in the fourth book of the Psalms. It closes the fourth book, and we've described this before as answering to the book of Numbers, because the Psalms is a Pentateuch as much as the first five books are structured in the form of a Pentateuch. And the fourth book, of course, is answers to Numbers, the book of Numbers, the wilderness experience of the people of Israel. And that's exactly what is mainly focused on in the psalm. It's a psalm of the history of Israel and their sinfulness, that they sinned all the way through. And this is the story of the people of Israel, as it is the story of the church, that we are stiff-necked people. And we do always resist the Holy Spirit. This is what has been said of the people of Israel in the Bible. And now this psalm opens up with a hallelujah, praise ye the Lord, a hallelujah. And it closes with a praise, a hallelujah. It's all the of the five books of the Psalms close with a doxology, and it closes literally with a hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Actually, it's the first psalm that opens and closes with a hallelujah. So the first few verses are giving praise and thankfulness to the Lord for his mercy in the fact that he endures the people of Israel. That is, mercy endures forever. He's long-suffering. And then with a confession of sin in verse 6, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. And I like how the psalmist says, we have sinned with our fathers. Not that they sinned, but we sinned. And this is to eat the sin offering. It's to identify ourselves with the sin of the people. We see this with Daniel, for example, and we see it with others in the Bible. But with Daniel, in his great confessional prayer of Daniel chapter 9, he says, we have sinned. You know, Daniel himself was never involved with the idolatry of the people of Israel back in the land before the captivity. He was just a youth. He wasn't involved with it at all, and he had been carried into captivity. But he says, we have sinned, and he identifies with the people of God in that. So from verse 7 down to verse 13, we get the deliverance of the people from Egypt through the Red Sea. But it closes in verse 13, they soon forgot his works, they waited not for his counsel. This sort of introduces us to the wilderness experience of the people of Israel. But I want to look at that expression, they soon forgot, or in the margin of my authorized Bible, it says, they made haste, they forgot. And I'm thinking now of Galatians chapter 1, where Paul writes in verse 6, I marvel, or I am surprised, that you are so soon removed or departed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Paul marveled that the Galatians so quickly moved away from the doctrine of grace that he had taught them and moved into onto the ground of works, of justification by works, that they had to be circumcised in order to be saved. But, you know, friends, we see this all through the Bible. The people of God are set in a particular position or a place of responsibility, and then they quickly remove from it. Whether you look at Adam and Eve in the garden, or you look at Noah in the New World, he got drunk, or you look at the priesthood when it was established, it hardly got underway when Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire. So we see this, that the people of God always remove themselves quickly from God's from the place of obedience into the place of disobedience, that they depart quickly from the position that God in grace has set them in. And we see in verse 15, as it recounts now from verse 13 down to verse 33, the wilderness experience, we get a lovely verse here where it says, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness under their soul. You know, they asked God for meat in the wilderness, and he sent the quail, and he sent the manna. But notice that he gave them their request. He answered their prayer, but sent leanness into their soul. You know, we may seek the things of the world and the riches and the good life and all of that, and we may pray and ask God for that. He may even answer our requests. He may allow it, but that's not necessarily a good thing for us spiritually. And as we see here, On the other hand, he sent leanness under their soul. And, you know, we see this with the so-called prosperity gospel, where they think that wealth and riches is equal to godliness, and it's not. You have to admit, and you have to see, that such a gospel will ultimately bring leanness of soul, of spiritual life, to the believers. Then we get in verse 23, we get the intercession of Moses when he interceded for them at the golden calf, when God was going to destroy them as a people, and Moses stood in the breach for them and interceded for them, a wonderful type of Christ. And then we get another important expression in verse 28. Indeed, I wish I had time to look at all the verses of the psalm. There's 48 verses. I'm not going to be able to, but verse 28, they joined themselves also unto Baal Peor, and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Now this history you'll find in Numbers chapter 25, when Balaam was defeated. He could not curse the people of God, so he tried another tactic, and that was to get them to commit fornication with the Moabites. And we see the daughters of the Moabites and the Israelites committed fornication in the worship of Baal Peor. This is at the end of the wilderness journey. But Baal Peor was the god that they worshipped. But there was, connected with that worship, there was a sexual immorality. And so it is with a lot of the heathen worship, the pagan worship. You would have prostitutes in the temples, priests and priestesses. And so to have the sexual immorality or sexual intercourse with the priests or the priestesses or with the people of the land connected with the god is to join yourself with that particular god. In the case of the pagan worship, it's to join yourself unto the demon. Now, Paul brings this out in Corinthians, because the Corinthians who had been saved from paganism, some of them were going back to the idol's temple. And Paul warns about this. He says in verse 15 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "Know you not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. What, do you not know that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For the two, he says, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication." Now, Paul is showing here that as believers, we are closely linked with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are one spirit with the Lord. We're joined to him. But if we go to the idol's temple and eat the sacrifices offered to idols and perhaps commit fornication in the temple, then we're joining ourselves unto the god of the temple. And the Lord cannot be joined to that. And Paul brings that out in other parts of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We can't eat the table of demons and the table of the Lord at the same time. And we must flee fornication. Now, today when we look around, we don't see idols, temples, and we don't have that type of practice. But sexual immorality is filling the land, filling our countries, and is on the internet and everywhere. And so Christians have to be very careful not to give themselves over to this, to keep ourselves pure, both spiritually and physically, pure from these things. And may the Lord keep us from those things. For Paul says, "Don't you know that the Holy Spirit dwells in your body, and we've been brought for a price, therefore glorify God in your body." We don't belong to ourselves. We are owned by God. So we have to quickly move on before we run out of time here. We get the sin of Moses in verse 33, where he lost his temper. And this runs down into verse 34 now. Verse 34 to 43, we get their history in the land of Canaan, and it was the same history. They went after the different gods of the land of the Canaanites. They didn't subdue the Canaanites under them, but it says in verse 35, "But they mingled amongst the heathen and learned their works." They copied the worship of the Canaanites. So this history repeats itself. And then we see in verse 44 that the Lord, you know, he heard their cry, their affliction. We see this in Judges, where they would go into captivity and then they would cry to the Lord and the Lord would deliver them from that captivity. So the conclusion of this is verse 47, "Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from amongst the nations to give thanks unto the holy thy holy name and triumph in thy praise." And then we get the concluding doxology and hallelujah in verse 48. You know, the people of Israel will someday in the future will realize that their history has been thus. And the biggest sin of all was to reject the Lord Jesus as their Messiah. And they'll confess him as their Lord and their God. And they will be blessed in the millennium. Now, may the Lord bless you today, and may the Lord preserve us from all manner of sin. Amen.